the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, which is a wonderful place to be. And I've been there for about 2 years, a little over 2 years, I suppose. And we moved from Kansas, central Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. I was the pastor of a Reformed Presbyterian congregation in Sterling, Kansas. And we lived there for about 15 years, and we've been in Oklahoma and Kansas for a lot longer than that. Now we're in Pittsburgh. It amazes me. It really does. And in our preaching classes, we are having students preach from texts in the book of Revelation. And one of my students said to me, "Are you actually going to subject us to this?" I said, "Yes, I am." And they're doing a remarkable job. They really are. And so having asked my students to do this, I thought maybe I ought to do it myself. So please turn to Revelation chapter 4, and I want to read verses 1 through 11, the entire chapter. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. You may have a different version, but you can follow along. Hear God's word. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. And he also was sitting, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and crowns were on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come.' And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created.'" Here ends the reading of God's word. May God be pleased to bless and strengthen us as we have opportunity to look into His word. I'm a basketball fan, and I'm kind of glad that this is not good, is it? I'm kind of glad when football season passes by. And I'm in the wrong area of the country to be saying that. I'm kind of glad when football season passes by and basketball season comes, because being from Kansas, you know, Kansas University and all that, basketball is kind of big out there. Well, I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I understand that this is the case. And the first National Basketball Association games have begun. You've noticed that, haven't you? Okay. And the Lakers had their first game, and Kobe Bryant took to the court with the adulation of the fans. This man, who is a confessed adulterer and is on charges for rape, was praised in the Coliseum in which they played. Kobe, 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 hands raised, you know, the waves and all of that sort of thing. There you go. The celebrities, the athletes, the politicians all get the praise, do they not? Well, depending upon your party, I guess this would be the case. But surely those people in prominent positions are given the adulation. Well, in our chapter this morning, it's quite different, isn't it? It is quite different. It is not the praise of human beings, and it is not the praise of sinful human beings. It is the praise of the great God of all. And I say to you, people of God, your glorious God and Redeemer is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Crown him. Crown him with many crowns. This is where our text leads us. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." The first chapters of the book of Revelation are the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, churches that are suffering under the heavy hand of the Roman Empire and suffering persecution. And when we leave chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, we come to further visions of this great God, and he has a book in his hand. And the question is, who's going to open the book? And it's none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord. And in this chapter, the stage is being set for the divine drama, which is to follow. Anchored in history with these churches, now a great drama is set before us. And we look, and there's a door. Think about this. There's a door open in heaven. You can see it in the distance. And there's, like, if I have the picture correctly, it's as though there's great light streaming back out of this door. You can't miss it. And there's a booming voice like a trumpet. "Come up here." And it's a voice calling John to come up and see the things that will transpire, how history is going to be laid out through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when John goes through that door, what does he see? Well, look at the text. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne, and he who was like jasper, and he who was sitting was like jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance, and around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments, and golden crowns were in their head. There's a throne. And it's just as it were, it was standing in heaven. How many of you have had a dream that you thought after you awakened was so real that you knew you were there? You had a dream like that? I have. I won't tell you what they were, but I have had dreams like that. And I think this is the closest we can get to what's taking place here. That John looks, and dreams are very interesting, aren't they? They're not like reality, and the situation here is a portrayal of reality. I should have said that earlier. There are symbols here. There are pictures here. This is not reality itself. These are portrayals of reality. We have to get that dynamic. They are pictures of reality, not the reality itself. And John sees this throne, as it were, standing in heaven. But the throne is not empty. There is one sitting on the throne. God is present. God is in charge. It is the great God of the universe who is sitting at the seat of authority in the center of heaven. And we don't understand what he looks like except that there is a brilliant image, an image of precious stones which is given. He is that which is precious in the universe, which is really precious. And what else do we see? 24 thrones around this central throne. And 24 elders sitting on these thrones. Probably a representation of the church, Old Testament and New Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 patriarchs of old, and the 12 disciples. A representation of church, Old and New Testament, before the throne of God. And they're all wearing white. Praise God, this is the case. They are dressed in white garments, signifying the righteousness and the purity of Jesus Christ given to them by God. How good that is. And verse 4 tells us that they all have golden crowns on their heads. Here are people who were raised with Christ, and they are seated with Christ and with God in heaven. Paul says that the future hope of believers is to rule with Christ, to reign with Him. What a picture. And we not only see God, but we see the power of God, and we see the messengers of God. Let's read on. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and there are seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And the center and around the throne, in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Let's stop right there. The power of God manifested. The lightning and the peals of thunder and the sounds emanating from the throne. The idea of strength and power and of judgment. It is in many respects the throne of judgment, and the judgments finally are in the hands of God Himself. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we're not to take vengeance ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't take vengeance. Vengeance will come. And in front of the throne, there's a sea. Somehow we get the idea this is tiny. Think of a great expanse and a great throne sitting. And before that throne, this great sea is spread. If you want to look in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, there's a sea that's presented. And the dragon stood, 13:1, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea having 10 horns and 7 heads. The beast that arises from the sea. And the sea, it seems, is the tumult of the nations and the disturbances among the peoples of the world and the thrashing about of the nations of the world. And out of that arises anti-Christian forces. But when we look at the vision in Revelation chapter 4, what do we see? We see a sea, which is calm. It is like glass. It is undisturbed under the hand and the power of God. Peace comes to the nations and to the world and to the peoples of the world. That's you and me. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here before the throne, not only in that respect, but in the representatives, the elders that are present. And we, as the people of God, isn't this the case? Have we not experienced the power of God within our lives? I'd like to hear the testimonies of some of you. I really would. Of how you came to Christ. How God worked in your life. How He changed you into a new creation. I remember when that happened to me. And I walked out of a chaplain's office in South Korea a number of years ago, a different person than when I walked in. Because that chaplain said to me, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I said, "No." And he put it to me, the gospel. And I came out a different person. Thank God for the power He exerts. Going on in the text. Chapter 4. Let's read verse 6 again. "And before the throne was something like a sea of glass, like crystal in the center, and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had the face like a man, and the fourth creature like a flying eagle." And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. Magnificent living beings. And the connection, it seems, is with the vision in Isaiah chapter 6 and the seraphim with six wings each. And what do they do as they are around the throne in Isaiah chapter 6? Exactly the same thing that they do here. They cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." These are angelic beings, it seems. And they are portrayed with different characteristics, with the stature and the grace and the authority of the lion, and with the strength of the ox, and with that ability to use the mind and intellectual capability, a rational capability, like a man, and swift as the eagle, these spiritual beings. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that they are ministering spirits sent forth on behalf of people like you and me, sent from the very throne of God to do a work on behalf of people like us. Thank God for messengers. And thank God that messengers come from the throne of God. And thank God that God ordains messengers like your pastor to be an angel. That's what the word messenger means. An angel to bring the word of God. How good God is in what he does. And what else do we see? Verses 8 and following again. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, full of eyes around and within, day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." We see the worship of God in heaven around the throne. Yes, we see it. And dear friends, do we not enter into this worship? Part of my privilege at our seminary is to teach a class on worship. And one of the things that I emphasize in our class on worship is that there is a sense that when we come together as God's people, as living stones being built into a spiritual house, with God's presence among us, vitally, graciously present is our God. We have the privilege of entering into the heavenly realm. And we are connected to glory which is to come. This is the whole idea of holiness, to be separate from the world. And when you're connected to heaven,
you're really separate from the world. And this is part of the genius of worship before God, is to actually come into the presence of the Lord of the universe and to have communion with Him. Worship the Lord God. And we see it. Look at verse 10. The 24 elders will fall down before Him. The terminology here is to plant their knees on the ground and to bow in adoration before God. The 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. That's what we're called to do, week by week, is to come together to say, O God, You are the glorious One. You are the One we reverence and honor. You are the One who has all power. And anything that we have comes from You. Verse 9, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, Worthy are You, our Lord and our God. You are the One who is worthy. Do you understand that the terminology worship comes from this idea of being worthy? Look it up in the dictionary. Your worth-ship. That's the background of the word. You are the One who is worthy. And so we worship You, our God. And the Greek terminology is the term from which we get our idea axiom. It should be axiomatic that Christians bow before the Creator of the universe and say, Thank You, Lord, for who You are. Well, there's something else I want to draw to your attention here. It's the crowns. Look at verse 4 again. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns were on their heads. We've already spoken of the fact that these crowns are representative of the fact that we reign with Him. How mysterious and glorious the concept is. But the New Testament also tells us, Paul tells us, that these crowns are crowns of righteousness. Just like those white robes, we receive righteousness from God. And the Apostle James speaks of the crowns of life. We are crowned with life. God gives us life through Jesus Christ. There is life in no other name. We have life eternal, a new life. We are new creatures in Christ. He crowns us and honors us with that. And the Apostle Peter calls these crowns, crowns of glory. They are crowns symbolic of the fact that we will enter into glory with our God. And these bodies of ours, full of aches and pains and diseases and all sorts of other things, will be put aside and we will be glorified. There will be no longer any crying or mourning or pain. The first things are done away with. Some of us are looking forward to that a little bit more than others. But now, look at verse 10. The 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne and say to God, if there is any righteousness I have, it comes from You. If there is life that I enjoy, it comes from You. If there is glorification that awaits me, it comes from You. And those elders take off the symbol of the rewards of heaven, and they cast those crowns before the throne of God and bow and say to Him, all that I ever could hope to be, I find in You, dear God of all. Is that not our posture and praise, dear friends, in Christ? To cast the crowns before the throne and to say, worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, including this rain. And because of You, we exist in this world. And were created and recreated by You. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for who You are. May we simply pause to bask in Your grace, love, and mercy, to know You and to say to You, thank You, Lord, because You indeed are very good. Bless us. Grant us Your grace. And grant us simple rest in You, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.